Yes. All right. Everybody get plenty to eat, I guess, today. I notice a lot of good stuff over there. And the only problem with that is that I have to work quickly up here because keep you from falling to sleep after you eat all that good stuff. Before we work into the message, I titled it Overcoming the World. And not giving in to all this stuff. And you won't have this up here because it just kept coming back to me this morning. And I thought, I'm going to read a little passage out of 2 Timothy. And then we'll get to our text for the day. But to lead into it, because we see this and we're dealing with it right now. And it's like, wow, boy, they saw this coming. And over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you just kind of, let me share this with you, then we'll jump into the main text of the message. It says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good. And friends, we're seeing this everywhere. I mean, this is happening. I'm not trying to be morbid up here and I don't like doing that, but it's the truth. What was prophesied here way, way back when is happening now on a full scale. I've never seen such discourtesy. Used to, we had a respect for age in this country. Now, I'm sure you have. We've run into this. You'll have somebody that you're trying to check out or whatever, and they're just as rude as they can be. You just want to grab them and whack them upside the head and say, you know, weren't you taught any respect at all? And there's no respect for anybody. And so here it is. And they said, this is going to be in the last, but it says, remember, the last days. And it just points it out that, you know, they're without self-control, they're brutal, haters of good, they're treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's exactly what we see, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. That's the scary part. I'll bring a message on this at a different time and tie this in with Matthew 24, but that's not for today. It's just to say, this is what we're up against, and we're going to have to live above it. Don't let yourself be brought down to the level of these people. I I can bring this word, and I've been doing this a long time, but it's still hard when you have somebody, and maybe you go in a store, you're in a restaurant, and they're just so disrespectful, and you want to say something, you want to lose your temper, don't you? I mean, it's like, don't talk to me that way. Don't just throw my food down on the table. And if you ask for something extra, you know, could I have some of, you know, that garlic toast or whatever? And it's like you're just putting them out, you know. And it's like, well, you know, if you don't want to get it for me, just tell me where it is. I'll go in the kitchen and get it. You know, if it's too much of a bother to you. So you see this all the time and everywhere you go, and it's like if you're not careful, you'll start being unloving and doing the same thing back. And that's where we have to stand tall and be sure that the Lord's in control of our lives. Don't let this kind of person bring you down to their level. And here's the scary part. It says they're holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. So he's saying a lot of these people are going to be in churches, and they'll hold to a form of godliness. In other words, they'll talk a good talk, but they can't walk the walk. Their behavior and their words don't match up to, you know, it doesn't match up to everything. It doesn't all come together. So don't ever fall for somebody, you know, somebody talking about Scripture. Watch their life and see if they're living it. Now, nobody's perfect, but you can see, you know, and if the best way, if you want to really find out if somebody's legit, just go out and eat with them a few times, and when somebody's rude to them in a restaurant, you'll find out real quick whether they're what they say they are, because they forget themselves, and next thing you know, and you're going, okay. So enough there. We're faced with all this. I'm glad, well, let me put it this way. I'm glad the elections are almost over. I started to say over, but I'm glad they're almost over. And I've never, I don't know what's happened to us. It goes on and on and on, and nerve-wracking, you know. But I'm glad they're almost over, because during the crux of it, there's so much, it's just brutal, isn't it? It's horrible stuff and nasty stuff everywhere. And we have to really work at not being conquered by this. So let me read in 1 John chapter 5 to counter what we just looked at. And we have to overcome the world. And Jesus Christ has told us we can overcome the world through our faith. But we can't give in to this junk that's all around us now. We've got a rough generation or two out there that has no respect for anybody. And it's a very selfish generation overall. And so he's in 1 John chapter 5, he says, whoever believes that Jesus, I'm reading now the New American Standard version today. I switch around all the time, but that's what I'm using today. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now listen to this. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Read the rest of this. Read before it. Read after it. I take the crux of something, I take the meat of it, but you need all the dressing and all the good stuff to go with it, and I can't do it all. I just don't have even the time up here to read everything before and after. I wish I could. But we grab this to say Jesus Christ, and we've got to believe in him, and we have to keep our faith forward and growing and active. If you listen to enough of this junk on TV, listen, there's some TV shows I've just had to stop watching. I go back to the old Westerns and I watch the same. There's a lot of Westerns. I know half the lines in the Western. But at least it's not the filth that's poured out in a lot of these other shows. And I know I have people say, hey, do you watch this or do you watch that? And it's like, no, I don't need to hear any more filthy stuff than I hear already out here in this world. You don't have to be nasty to be a good actor. You know why it's nasty, and you know why there's all this other stuff? Because they can't act. It's the truth. You know why we have to have all the, and all the computer-generated stuff and all that? Because they're no good. You put a Gary Cooper or Jimmy Stewart or one of these people up there, there's somebody that could do the job. And when you don't, you have to have special effects. Anyway, you say, boy, you're on it today, aren't you? Yes, I am. And also in churches. Look what we're doing in churches. We have to have special effects. You know why? Because you can't preach. If you could preach the word and bring it and make it effective and make it where people get something out of it, you don't have to have all the fireworks and the special effects all the time. It's the truth. You know what's wrong in so many churches? We're not practical. We want to entertain instead of bringing the word of God and then explaining to people how it works. So here it is. We're talking about here's the word of God and here's how it works. And this is how we can keep ourselves away from all this stuff. Number one, you've got to be strong in your salvation. If you feel a little weak in it, then let ask God to strengthen you in your salvation experience. There's a lot of people, and listen, some of you may be right here today doing this. You know, if somebody asks you, you know, are you confident? Are you really confident that you're saved? And I hear answers, and I'm not saying right here, but out and about and places I go and people I talk to, I say, are you sure of your salvation? That's how I usually ask. Are you sure of it? Well, Pastor, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I'm saved. And it's like, I don't think you are. And people just, and I do that on purpose. I'm not trying to judge them, but I shock them with that. And it's, I don't think you are. Why? Because when you're saved and Jesus Christ has a hold of your heart, buddy, you know it. You know when the Holy Spirit's in you. You know when Christ has saved you. And quit this wishy-washy. And, you know, put your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone and nothing else. Accept Jesus, confess to Jesus your sins, repent to Jesus, and determine to live in Him and let Him live in you. That's how you're going to overcome the world. You make a commitment, and it's a daily commitment, that you wake up of a morning and Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to live in me this day and use me to bring honor and glory to your name. And if I mess up, convict me instantly, completely of my sins and cause me through the power of your Holy Spirit to confess that sin and keep me going throughout the day. Listen, friends, we don't have time and we're in a very rough place in this world. You don't have time. You don't have the convenience of messing around with your salvation. You've got to be strong in it. Get on the straight and narrow path and stay with it. Is everybody with me? It's a narrow path and it's a hard one to stay on. And there's all kinds of temptations out there. And there's stuff that just upset. I have to be really careful. And this, it's a weakness. I have to watch. And the political thing just upsets me. I know it doesn't bother the rest of you, but it upsets me. And I'm not supposed to let it do that. But I just get so cranked up over it. And sometimes I want to come in here romping and stomping and say, and just spend the whole time just talking about it. And then God just taps me on the shoulder and saying, this is not what we're all here for, Tony. You got to calm down and get over it. And you can't come in here as a pastor telling people that you want to kill some politicians. You just can't say that. God just doesn't like that. And so... But I really have to struggle with that anymore. I really do. And one thing I've learned, I'm going to say this one thing and I'll get over it. I've learned at least that you do not have to be intelligent to be a politician. Okay, that's all I'm going to say today. Intelligence is not a factor anymore. So that's all I'm going to say. Now let's get on living above this thing. You get on the straight and narrow path and stay with it. And when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus and you say, Jesus, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I repent of my sins. I am sorry for everything I've done and ask you to forgive me. I believe you're the Son of God. At that moment, Jesus Christ comes into your heart. Your sins are forgiven and they're cast away into the depths of the sea and they're removed from you as far as the east is from the west. You're His child. Now quit messing around and doubting, because the Word of God says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, right? You believe in your heart Jesus is Lord and confess your mouth that with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now do it and get on with it. And don't let the devil make you doubt. Here's where we start doubting, because we commit sin. And we do the dumbest things, don't we? We say stuff we shouldn't say. We think things we shouldn't think. You ever wake up of a morning and you wonder, why was I dreaming that? You ever do that? It's like, I can't believe I had a dream like that. You know, and you're thinking, I can't be saved to dream like that. Saved people don't dream dreams like that. Or you just blow it out here. Somebody finally gets under your skin and you just let it rip. For me, and y'all are visiting today, but everybody here knows that I-10 out here, the interstate, is my problem. When people come, why do people find it necessary when you're driving over here in the slow lane in the first place and to go around you and then just cut in front of you where they just miss your front bumper? This is an interstate. There's miles to go. Go on down the road. Why do you have to do that? And it instantly brings out a fury in me, a killing thing. And it usually happens on the way to church on Sunday morning, and I'm trying to come up here and be loving, and instead there's nothing but murder and malice going through my head. And I know you're not like me to do this, but I tell them a lot of times what I think. Do you tell them what their IQ is and all of? Oh, and the, okay, and that their parents were never married and all kinds of stuff. All right. And then you come in here, and we've got to be straightened out, and we're supposed to be loving Christians and right with the Lord. You ever do this stuff and then there's that little boy saying there's no way you can really be saved and think those things and do those things? Let me tell you something. Saved people struggle with temptation all their lives. And the scripture, if you read over in 1 Corinthians, he says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man or to people. But God is faithful and will not allow you what? More to be brought. I'll paraphrase for you. He won't let more to be brought on us than we can bear, but he will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you can bear it. So what is he saying? There's no temptation. There's no trial or testing that's coming on you that's not coming on everybody else. And the scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what does it mean? Every Christian struggles with some temptation. And it may vary depending on the day or the situation or if your hormones are messed up or whatever it is. But just because you sin or you think sinful things doesn't mean that you're lost. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. As a matter of fact, what I tell people, and I, as all of you know, I do quite a bit of counseling or have in the past. And one of the things, you know, when people come to me and say, Tony, I don't know, you know, I struggle with this, I struggle with that, and I feel so lousy about it. And I said, good, now I know you're saved. And it's like, what? I said, you wouldn't feel lousy about it if you weren't saved because the Holy Spirit's convicting you. If you weren't saved, you wouldn't care. It wouldn't bother your conscience. But because it's bothering you enough to want to sit down with me and talk about it, because you hate what you're doing, but you do it anyway, you're saved, and the Spirit is dealing with you. You see, lost people don't care. They just cuss and rave and go out and look for pleasure, but saved people care when they sin. It bothers them. So if your conscience bothers you about something, that is a sure sign that God's working in your life. You ever thought about it? If you didn't feel a thing, then I'd really get concerned for you and say, But when you feel that conviction and you feel rotten about it, I mean, I can yell at people on I-10 or I can, you know, just lose it out there and whatever once in a while. But there's that instant conviction of, now isn't that cute? God deals with us all in different ways. With me, it's kind of like that. Those are the kind of thoughts that come into my mind. Oh, that was real cute. Have you ever been yelling at somebody like that and then look around to see if any church people maybe are watching? You just hope and pray to God after you have your little spell and you're hitting the steering wheel or whatever. You look on and make sure that somebody from the church didn't drive up beside you. You're being convicted. And so, listen, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're given salvation that very moment. But I'll tell you what, the rest of your life, you'll struggle with sin. You'll struggle with temptation. As a matter of fact, God's people struggle with more temptation than anybody else because the devil is always trying to bring us down. That is why, for me, I have to be very careful what shows I watch, what I listen to. Here's why. I grew up, and as most of you know, I grew up in an environment, and nothing against my dad. My dad taught me so much, and I love him, but dad taught me cussing before English. And cussing was just a part of our home. And so I don't need to listen to any more cussing on TV. I've had enough growing up. You know, and I've laughed about it, and I tell people all the time, and I've said it here, but the dogs, we had two dogs when I was a kid, they didn't know their names. Those dogs were never called by their names. And so as a kid, I would call those dogs by the names that my dad called those dogs, and I didn't know that I was cussing. But that's the way it was. And so whatever your weakness is, if it's drinking or if it's doing that or losing your temper, don't get involved in things that will just aggravate that will feed that. In other words, if you want to be overcoming the world, stop feeding your flesh. If you have a drinking issue, then please don't go places where they're drinking. Don't go stand around at HEB or Walmart, and you know, you kind of ease back there and look at all that. there's just a whole row of it back there, right? Stay out of it. Don't even go there. If you got a problem with too much ice cream, you know where not to go. Don't stand and look at the bluebell through the glass thing. You know, if you stand it, look, the longer you look at it, the more you will tell yourself it's okay today. You ever done that? The longer you think about it, the longer you look at it, the more you just start reasoning and you come up with all these, just today, it's okay today. Or maybe, you know, it can be tons of things. And with the sexual thing, there's shows, it's out there. And I'm amazed at the people that confess to me. You know, I'm struggling, Tony, with pornography. And guess what? Today, I have just about as many women as I do men struggling with it. And I found out that in some of the high schools, the girls are actually being challenged to watch certain types of pornographic material to see if they're interested in an alternative lifestyle. They're getting that in school. And friends, that's frightening to me. You see, we're being challenged with the world and its standards, or lack of standards, versus God and His standards. And I'm telling you, you got to make a stand. And this is a message here that God has just put on my heart. It's time to take your stand to overcome the world. I'm not going to live like the rest of this world lives. I'm not going to have that attitude. I'm not going to talk like the rest of the world. I don't care what they call. You know, you've got to make that decision in your life. I will not speak like the rest of the world speaks. I'm not going to cuss everybody out. I'm not going to yell and scream. I'm not going to demand my way. I want Jesus Christ in my hope of glory to be seen in me everywhere I go. And you have to keep that commitment, and it's not something you make on Sunday. It's all day long, because you're going to be challenged with it. And by the way, Jesus Christ, and we know this, but it needs to be said, Jesus Christ is here right now to give you power over your sins, over your habits, over your weaknesses, over the world, and over the enemy, the devil. The power is here. Christ in you, your hope of glory. And greater, this is in 1 John 4:4, greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. He gives you the power to overcome. You may still mess up once in a while, but you can mess up less and less. You have the power of Christ in you. Your body is God's temple, and he can whip that habit. I have a bad habit that I've had since I was a kid. Pat and I were just talking about it a while ago. And all of you know it that have been around me for a while. One of my weaknesses in my own life is I have a tendency to get caught up in worrying. I worry. I worry about the church. I worry about each one of you. If I don't see one of you here for a couple of Sundays, I start worrying. I mean, and that is a flaw that I have to struggle with, and I pray about it. I want God to conquer it. I'll go for a while, and I'm really more peaceful, and I'm free from it. And isn't it amazing? You ever do this? You have something like that, and you'll be free from it for a while, and then all of a sudden you wake up worrying. And here goes the battle all over again. And that's one of my struggles right there. And we all have things, don't we? So I mean, and we'll just, and if you're not, and if there's not something to worry me, then I'll make up a story so I can worry. In other words, I've been a worrier so long that if I don't really watch it and keep this before the Lord, I will create situations in my life that give me something to worry about. And we all do. We can sabotage ourselves. We get so comfortable with the uncomfortable. That's humanity. That's how we are. And we'll accept something in our lives. It's like somebody that's being abused, you know. They can get so used to being abused that becomes a comfort zone, and they don't know what to do unless they're abused. And sometimes, I've looked in my life, it's like, sometimes, son, you don't know what to do unless you're worrying. And worrying is a lack of faith in God. And God convicts me of that. And so I share my own weakness to say, look at your own life and see where the enemy gets to you. You know, if we go a Sunday or two and everybody's not here, I mean, I'm sure glad to see everybody sitting all the way back and everybody here today, but we might go through a Sunday and in holidays when there's this half as much, and I'm thinking, what did I do? Did I preach a bad message? What happened? And it's like, there you go again. There you go again, falling back into that old, stop it. And I can sense the Holy Spirit, you know, stop it. Stop it. You're intended for better things than this. But that's mine, and you don't have to share yours, but what is yours? Ask yourself, what is mine? Is anybody else a worrier in here? A bunch of worriers. Okay, well, y'all, we're all identifying with each other, aren't we? You know, we just then we've got other things. Got any overeaters? You don't have to raise your hand. Do you have anybody? Okay, thank you. There's an honest person. Okay, there's two. Okay, well, since we're being honest, anybody else? Okay. Okay, you know, I mean, we all share things in here, but we just have those things, and we have to bring them before the Lord. But listen to me, just because you're a worrier or you're an overeater, or anybody, any real tempered people here, just high-tempered, and you know it, and it's just a constant hassle to you. Thank you, sir. All right, there's one over there. Anybody else? She's helping me. Oh, okay, there's one over there. And you don't want to do it. I mean, it's not like you want to do it, but it's such a habit, see? It just comes out, doesn't it? And then you're saying and yelling, screaming, throwing and whatever, and then you realize, oh, that's great. You know, what would Jesus do that? Did I just represent him? Anyway, we don't have to go very far. But even when you do that, you have a God that loves you, and he's not giving up on you. And he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. So when you lose your temper, or you overeat, or you worry too much, he still loves us. And he'll convict us of it. But he won't throw us out. He won't boot us out of the kingdom. And he won't pick up a big heavenly club and club you upside the head. He's just simply going to convict you and say, you're better than this. I made you better than this. I live in you and I'm better than this. We can beat this. You and me together will overcome this because I'm greater in you than anything in this world. You can be victorious over all your sins and habits and weaknesses. You can beat it. Why? Because the scripture tells you in Romans, right? You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You go out of here today, if you don't remember anything else, you say to yourself, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Even with all my flaws and my overeating and my worrying and my temper and whatever else it is you do, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. You can be victorious over greed, over the greed and meanness in this world. And there's some, boy, this world is greedy. And there's meanness out there. But I'll tell you what Jesus Christ has given you right now. And you need to let him. Let him. Quit resisting him. Let him. Let him give you love instead of hate. Let him give you happiness instead of sadness. And let Jesus give you strength instead of weakness. You can have a vital, strong, living, growing relationship with Jesus Christ every day. There's nothing in your life that Jesus Christ won't overcome if you'll just let him overcome it. Just give him permission. Ask him to. Jesus, overcome this. I want you to beat this. I want to walk out here today a better person than what walked in. I want to be stronger tomorrow than I am today. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want people to look at me and say, there is Christ in that man, the hope of glory. And look at you and say, there's Christ in that woman, Christ in them, the hope of glory. They're so different. They just don't act like the rest of us. And then be consumed in love. Be consumed in love. You know, be strong in your salvation. If you want to overcome the world, then be consumed in love or with love. And that's not just a feeling. You know, we associate love with just a feeling. Love is a power. Love is a power to go beyond. Listen to me. Love is that power, that agape power of God, that agape God love that overcomes what we see on the surface and reaches into the human heart and says, no matter how you're acting, no matter what you're saying, no matter how rude you've been to me, God is letting me look in your heart and I see a desperate, hurting person who's putting up all these defenses just to keep somebody from knowing them. And so, friends, listen, when God consumes you with His love, you look beyond the surface, you're not offended so easily, and you see what's happening in the human heart. And He'll show you the real need. Because most often when people are acting like whatever, and they're just bad people to be around, those are frightened, insecure people in desperate need of salvation. They really are. And that's what we're here to do, is to be the light and the salt to those kind of people and not be sucked into their their dysfunction at the same time. Love is a power that can't be defeated. It's doing what God commands. It's caring for His children with the willingness to sacrifice for them as Jesus sacrifices for us. Listen to me. Love is not automatic. It's purposeful. I choose it. I have to want it. To live in it. It's a powerful choice every moment of every day. You have to choose to love. You have to choose to let God take out bitterness and hurt from your past and all the junk that's been there, and to take out the baggage that you've been carrying too long and let Him clean your heart. A whole lot of people need room in their heart for love because there's so much other stuff bundled up in there. There's just no room. Let God empty out. Come on, bring it to the cross. Whatever your hurts and troubles and trials and disappointments are. And finally, just put it at the cross and let God take it. I am crucified with Christ. Remember? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. And then let's close with this one. You know, be immovable and just be immovable in faith. Unshakable. It doesn't mean you don't feel. It doesn't mean you don't get hurt. But be immovable. You can't be shaken. Your faith is in Christ. It's in God and faith. Your faith is in Christ, in God alone. Don't put your faith in government. Don't put it in money or the system. Don't even put your faith in the church. Because let me tell you something. You can get hurt by the church if your faith is in the church, because the church is nothing but people, and we're weak, we're fragile, we're frail. I've had many people say, I'm not ever going to church again because somebody in the church was rude to me or hurt me. And it's like, what did you expect them to be? There's a lot of places where people come in and they walk in the door, and they can be cussing and raving in the parking lot, but you've seen this. And they walk in the door and suddenly they've got the holy walk. They go to the place that they sit in every Sunday and have for the last 40 years, and their grandpa sat there and their dad, and now they do in the same place. The place is worn out in the pew where their bottom sits right there. It's just right there. Fits the whole family. And they sit there, and if they're called on to pray, they pray that church prayer, Lord. And you're thinking, oh Lord. It's really true. And it's all pretend. The greatest Christians I've ever known are the ones who didn't fake it. They didn't have to pretend. And when they blew it, they could look you in the eye and say, I'm so sorry I said that. Boy, that's where real Christianity is. It's not a being perfect. It's when we can openly admit that we're not perfect. It's when I can say, buddy, I should not have said that to you. Forgive me. That's when you know it's real. No religion, no pretense. Just the real stuff. A real born-again believer, growing in love, growing in faith. That's the only kind of people who can look another person in the eye and make no excuses and say, that one's on me. I did that. I'm sorry, I forgot. Whatever it is, that one's on me. That's what real Christians do. They take personal accountability and personal responsibility for everything. They don't lay it off on somebody else. They don't say, well, you looked at me like that. That's what made me so mad. And by the way, for a lot of couples, it would help you a lot if you quit reacting to each other that way. What did you look at me like that for? I don't like your tone of voice. And your tone of voice made me mad. No, you used that tone of voice to go ahead and blow up yourself, and so you're not any better. So why don't we just admit, let's do a start over here and get it straightened out. Let's both confess that we're not exactly hitting on all pistons. You know, and let's get it right. Let's just confess. You know what, a lot of couples would help you so much? If you just sit down with each other and both look at each other and say, I'm so darn sorry that I hurt your feelings and I've been acting like an ogre. You know, I've been losing my temper and I've been reacting to this. And just each confess your sins to each other and say, both just say, would you forgive me? And let's just start clean from here. Couples do that every so often. Christians need to do that with each other. Friends need to do that every so often. Well, I don't want to make this a marriage counseling class, so let me close up. I know just how you feel. I'm feeling that way myself today. When I preach too long, a lot of people want to do what you're doing. So let me close this up so we don't have that happening all over the place. Immovable faith, that's faith in Christ, faith in God, and nothing else. Our faith in Christ gives us victory, overcomes the world. It overcomes our lust and our lying and our deceit and our meanness, our rudeness and our malice and our vindictiveness. It's all summed up, and by the way, in selfishness and self-centeredness, that stuff we read there in Timothy. You want to stay above the world, you want to overcome it, and be strong in your salvation. Be consumed in love. And be immovable in your faith. Jesus Christ is our true salvation. He's our only way to love God and to help people. Jesus Christ, when you let Him have control of your life, control of your mind and your heart, He will turn your life around from what about me to what about you, God. It's no longer me that lives, but Christ in me. Jesus Christ has the power, and He freely gives it to overcome the world, because greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. And just let Him be God. Let Him be God in your life, and just surrender to Him. There was an old song, remember that? I don't even remember all the words to it, but it was, I surrender all. You remember that? Yeah. There you go. All to Jesus, I surrender. That's what it's all about. And you can see why I preach and don't leave music. But anyway, it's true, isn't it? And that song is so appropriate. And it's just, all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. And it's time to do that and get above this world. Well, let's pray. Father, I'm asking you and to convict every heart here, mine and each and every one, to just surrender. We're going to live above this thing. We're going to overcome this world. And God, when we slip and fall, we trust you to be there, because you are, to never leave us or forsake us and to pick us up. And I pray that if anyone is drowning or struggling with their salvation right now, that they would in their heart say, Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. I'm going to firm this up, going to do it. This is it. I repent of my sins, and I put my faith in you, Jesus, and you alone, as the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. If you're praying that prayer, you don't have to come up here. Just raise your hand. I'll come right there and pray with you right now. Anyone? We don't make spectacles of people. We're here to help people. And if as a Christian you're just saying, I've been off track and I just want to get it right, and you can pray that prayer, God, I've been surrendering too much, God, to the things of this world. I'm letting the politics, or I'm letting this, or I'm letting that, or this habit, or this something in my life. It's getting the best of me, and I want it stopped. God, I give it to you. I surrender to you. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. Strengthen me, Lord, right now. You can pray that prayer, and God will do it for you. And God, I ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless your people here this day. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one. Forgive, cleanse, protect, deliver. Set us free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Be free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here.